Vince for correction or approval? Oh, I probably should do roll call first. In attendance is Ken Koch, myself, and Alderman Funkhauser, and staff. Minutes for correction or approval. You guys good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll approve them as presented. Let's do new business number one, East Orange Street Water Main Improvements.
All right. So we took bids on May 13th for this project. Several bidders, as you can see by review of the bid tab, so well advertised, well received. So the low bidder was Performance Construction and Engineering out of Plano. They have done work in the city in the past here. So there is a detailed memo in the packet along with the detailed bid tab. So we had several alternates that we'd looked at. The paving conditions have just further deteriorated over the wintertime and what have you. So working with Eric, we had identified several different alternates. And our recommendation is to go with the base bid plus alternate D, which basically includes the pavement removal and replacement of the north lane of pavement from 47 to Mill, and then the entire block east of Mill Street. City budgeted $490,000. The bids came in, just slightly above that. And again, we are recommending that for award. Any questions or comments?
I think that's the additional paving definitely goes a long way for us.
Yes, absolutely.
And the reason we did so many alternates is that east of Mill, is in very rough shape. If we even try to take part of it, I think it's just going to fall apart.
But it's been bound for a while.
Correct.
So we're basically at the original estimated cost anyway, so
yeah, it's good.
All right, we'll move it on. I think we're getting rid of the consent agenda, so.
For next meeting, they are?
Yeah, for next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
New business number two, Church Street Sanitary Sewer Improvements.
All right, busy day at May 13th. We also took bids on this particular project. So this project involves some sewer repair on Church Street. There's some point repair, some lining, some manhole additions. Again, several contractors bid this particular project, as noted on the bid tab. We are recommending award. This happens to be Performance Construction and Engineering once again. In the amount of $54,350. The budget was $100,000. That's what we have in the current capital plan. So, happy to address any questions anybody may have.
Questions,
Ken? Do we know why the bids were all so much higher than the estimate? I mean, is it just the size? This is the smaller one that unit prices are?
Correct. Yeah, we, after talking with my staff, we didn't account enough for the small quantity, and our estimate should have been higher. Yes.
Okay. New business number three, Route 71 improvements.
All right, so you have seen this type of a memo and request from IDOT on several projects, probably Route 47, both Route 34 projects. So now it's for Route 71. Basically, it's kind of one of their last parts of their land acquisition process. So basically, you're giving up the surface rights or any easements or what have you that the city had where they acquired right-of-way. So the city attorneys reviewed the documents, found it to be acceptable. They drafted an ordinance, and it's here for your consideration.
Questions, comments?
Houses going to be close to the road.
Yes.
Yes.
Do we know, have they come to terms with Raintree on the monuments that they're taking down in terms of, I know that's a private party transaction for the compensation, but they're losing some of their monumentation over there.
I have not heard.
Yeah, I have not heard that.
Okay.
Business number four, Route 47 improvements.
All right, so we received a document from IDOT Again, these are similar documents that we've seen from them on other projects within the city. So, you know, they are planning the construction of Route 47 from Kennedy to Cross. So there is a letter of understanding from them. And the point of that is just to get a general feel from the city where they'd like to see things. And then they'll go ahead and move forward with final design. Ultimately, you'll see a detailed city-state agreement that'll come back that'll further define and lock in items. So things can change later, but this is kind of an initial agreement. And again, you've seen this with the Route 34 projects and previous Route 47 project. Just a couple things to note. The agreement does include the short extension of Bristol Bay Road to Route 47. This has been a connection that has needed to be completed for some time. Makes sense for it to be lumped in with this project, and so it's built along with the 47 project. The Baseline Road Bridge will be reconstructed. Some of you may have seen Baseline Road Bridge come up from time to time in our capital discussions, as well as some reports. If you've been by there, you all know it's in poor condition. It's not recommended to be closed yet, but it's coming. The bridge is expected to be reconstructed as a part of this project. So therefore, the city has decided not to put money into the current project, which is wise. But that is part of this. When it is rebuilt, it will become the city's responsibility ultimately to maintain it. And then within this also, it does account for the Wrigley Way signals to be replaced. This is just a worst-case scenario. They were just built 3 years ago, 2 years ago. IDOT just wanted to put it in here. It's not certain when that part will be constructed. Could be 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. Who knows? But they just wanted to have a worst-case scenario in here.
They don't think that they were going to have to replace it.
Correct.
They just want to be on the safe side.
So that $322,000 is full replacement, 100% our cost. Now,
yes.
There's potential that they can salvage any or some of that.
The design was such to accommodate
the growth.
Correct.
So he said, talking with IDOT, they said they planned for the worst, knowing that that's not going to happen.
Okay.
That with the minor improvements, it's covered then. If they have to do the new loops, new this, new that, new pavement.
Those kind of things might have to obviously be done. But
those will have to be done, but the actual expensive portion will stay.
Okay. Yeah. Which is great, because that's a huge cost to us, 100%.
Right.
Absolutely. Right.
Okay.
So the estimated total local share is $656,400. And again, this is all the way from Sugar Grove to Yorkville. Right now, they're breaking it up. They're moving forward with the northern part from Sugar Grove to just south of Galena. The southern section is not right now in the five-year plan, but perhaps it will be with the capital plan. So any questions or concerns on this?
So much needed to get on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do have a question on Bristol Bay Drive. We're saying 24 foot. The existing drive is 39 back to back. Why are we not extending that to the current width?
It should be the same, and maybe is that in the IDOT?
It's in the. Where was the number at? It's in
I do see that.
It's at 24, but it should be 39.
Correct. It should be.
Width.
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay.
I will make that a note to Dave Alexander with IDOT to correct that.
And just something of a personal preference on my side, all the medians that would go through this, would they all be landscaped or turf with option of potentially having some trees in this?
Trees they will not allow. They said no on 34.
They said no on...
A hard no.
How does some of these other municipalities get away with it then?
That I don't know, but they... And that could have been older agreements on the Route 34 East agreement. That was an absolute no.
So you got to say it's an absolute bunch of...
Yeah, it was an absolute no.
For what they take out and then they don't put back in.
They don't put back in any trees.
I know. We're getting hit hard over on 71 with what they took out there, and we're not getting anything back. That hurts.
It was a lot of removal.
Uh-huh.
But on 71, didn't part of the negotiations on the easements, that they aren't going to allow them to put some trees out past the on the right of way. Like where right away in the people's yards hit. I thought they were going to do something.
Where they're getting a wall, there's not going to be anything on that side. They won't.
I thought there was. I thought there was a deal made or something.
That could be. I mean, the city.
It was. That's actually on the edge of the property.
Deals, yeah. So I'm not aware, but it's possible.
I don't think in our section here going up north there are many opportunities for a lot of meetings with other turn lanes.
I think my preference is so any many point where there is any opportunity that it shouldn't be paved, that it should be turf. But I mean, we can as things progress. I know they're not to that point to determine that.
Correct.
But once we get there, I'd like to see that as much turf as possible. Goes a long way. I mean, it looks nice having the turf on the eastern edge of ours. We're up 34 right now, so it's nice to keep a little bit.
Good. Does this need to go to council? It doesn't. For concurrence.
The mayor needs to
sign it.
Yeah, there's a page where the mayor needs to concur.
New business number 5, invitation to bid on the single group sale of 5 city vehicles.
On April 18th, we released the bid, and on May 7th, we did a public opening and received 0 bids for the 5 vehicles as a whole purchase. The previous ordinance that was submitted for the surplus request stated that we had to do a sealed bid to dispose of the vehicles under the circumstances of the condition of the vehicles, and that we received 0 bids. We're asking if we could just dispose of them. Best means necessary, if it's through scrap or if it's through donation or
wholesaler.
For there is one vehicle that is of decent condition we might get some money for.
I was going to say, do they run?
It's a loose term, Ken.
No, I mean,
they ran when they got out there, but they are on their very last legs. We've used them until they're... And each one of them needs significant repairs to be roadworthy. Significant. I believe that the Expedition was in the thousands of dollars just to get it to where it would be safe on the road. Mm.
And they've been sitting out there for...
2 to 3 years.
They've been sitting for a long time.
There you go.
Two of them are old F-150s that we've used. Like, they were used hard. One was a Ford Taurus that we've had in the fleet for quite a long time. One I don't know much about is a Black Impala. That was a police car that was hand-me-down to, I believe, community development, and it never did work right.
Exactly, that's only a 12.
Yeah, but within police years, that might as well be a 92, you know. And then the Expedition, I believe, we bought for a very, very cheap amount from the Bristol Kendall Fire Department after they had had it for well over a decade. We did get our money's worth out of the vehicles. We always do.
I'm sure.
Yeah, if nobody offered you anything for them, that says a lot.
That's unusual, right? Mm-hmm.
It is.
Or we at least get somebody that wants.
We usually get a wholesaler, somebody, and we've advertised it. And it's just there's not a lot of value left. Uh-huh.
Clearly.
Okay.
All right. New business number 6: material storage shed.
Yes, finally. What we have are the prints and plans are actually from when we tried to do this in 2015. And at that time, EEI had worked with a pole barn builder to come up with a set of plans and build the specifications for MFT. Needless to say, we did not pursue this. Our grant money got put on hold, and that kind of halted the project in its entirety. Fast forward to 2019, and our shed finally gave out. It picture start. It's still attached as this one. But it is gone now. It is down, and we need to move forward with some type of material storage shed. So what we're doing here is asking permission just to start moving forward with it. We don't have the RFP. I don't believe the RFP is ready. But we have a basic boilerplate that we can use and take Brad's specs from the MFT, and he's going to get an updated engineer's probable cost, estimate of probable cost. And we would just, we just kind of wanted to let everybody know this is where we're at and that we'd like to move forward. And then obviously, after the invitation to bid is open, it would be brought back here for discussion. And at that time, we would have a much better idea of a hard budget number to know what we would need to do.
So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I think it has to be done. Budget-wise, so this is not, there's nothing in this year's new budget for this. And was it even talked about for the next? Did you have money coming from the next year?
Not necessarily. I think there was a facilities plan that was going to be looked at, and we also, when we had the building assessment, building conditions report done last year, this was one of those buildings that we were not going to put any money into that we knew we needed to replace.
It was at the end of its useful life.
Yeah, I think that the needs assessment and the new study that they were going to do was going to prioritize the projects. So there hadn't been any money budgeted yet.
Okay. Because, and you have this next item coming too. And
we do.
I might wonder if they're going to tell you put a priority on one of them. I don't know what you'd want to do there. I don't know.
That's why you guys are here.
Okay. Well, that's what I'd like to know.
I would say
going forward.
So really the request is not to replace the building, but it's to start advancing the plans. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, obviously, yes, it's tied into replacing it, but
the ultimate goal is replacement.
Your initial ask here is to move forward.
Yeah, can we move forward with the invitation to bid and to get it out there in the public to move forward?
And now we are, in terms of the bid process, we're not going to put together a plan set for this. We're going to tie that in with the actual bid.
If the plan set's done.
We're going to use the 2015. If we don't see any issue with
Pete looked over it. He re-looked over it. He gave a couple comments to EEI to integrate into the plans. Structurally, nothing has changed. We're going to add some tin on the east side to protect it more, and then seal the concrete and use fiber mesh concrete.
So, yeah, but building-wise, you know, code-wise, we've had minimal changes since they were done in 15.
Especially
so
for an excess, there's no electricity.
Pete's good with that.
Yep.
Okay, that kind of thing, and then
and each builder will put their own unique little, we have a proprietary thing on it.
Right, because they're going to, I mean, they're whatever brand, whether it's a Morton or a XYZ, they're going to.
Correct, they'll have their own little twist.
Total. Okay.
But this was drawn by a local builder who does those.
How long do we think before we come back with the invitation to bid?
Oh, we should be able to. Will we be able to bring it back to June, or would it be July? Probably July.
July would
probably July to get everything put together, advertise, solicit
and at that
the
time
bids.
We'll have a solid estimate.
Yeah, we'll have
for budget purposes, because that's going to be my big thing is how are we paying for it?
Oh, we'll
have so an estimate.
That's
going to
be the big issue.
We'll have the estimate by June.
If we can do that,
we'll have
next
bids.
Month, that's good.
We'll have bids by July.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that's where we're really going to have to talk is where's the money come from?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this one big enough for expansion, or is it just big enough?
This one's not big enough. This one, what it will be, is to get us.
We need to figure out. I think that's something we should probably talk about. Is
ultimate need is going to be four times this size. Yeah. So there's no way to put it on that site.
And that's maybe we need to figure that out before we send it out for bid. That's kind of what I want to get to.
Here's the thing. We have no place to keep salt.
Right.
We have no place to keep it for loading trucks for our...
To keep it dry.
Yeah.
For this winter.
But your goal is to try to have us built by November, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The time frame is pretty quick.
We can't load directly from Kendall County. We can't do that. They won't allow us to...
They did on an emergency basis. They it's not that they didn't like it logistically. What if they don't go out?
Yeah. No, they got to send somebody in to load, yeah?
Yeah.
Because we're using their facility, we can't take our equipment and load.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely something we have to talk about in terms of what's, you know, are we going to spend $300,000 in the short term, and what is short term, or are we, I mean, it would be there for, well, in this case, it'd be there for...
My thinking on this, it'll be there for 30 years as a central location to not only store the salt, you will store sand, you will store turfus, you will store the dirt, the mulch, and that's always at a central location. If we keep growing...
Which I get, but we've talked about this site, Tower Lane, as what's the growth opportunity, the expansion and redevelopment of that site.
Sure.
You know, we acquired the new parcel. We haven't really talked about how to incorporate that, how to make that site more...
If we incorporate the new parcel, it would be probably more for a office in the front end of the shop.
Which is fine. Just knowing where those buildings are, if we're demoing other buildings and rebuilding new.
And we can expand this one to the south if we expand.
We have a building to take out first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to move forward on that particular discussion, too. How much money are we losing if we don't do it? A ton.
Oh, it's not a matter of losing, it's a matter of not being able to keep the material dry.
Right, so it's just wasted, gone.
Wasted, gone is little, it's trying to spread it.
Because it creates a crust
and freeze.
Right.
Yeah, so we have to manage that.
And you can put tarps on it as much as you
but
want.
But it's only a three-sided building as well. Mm-hmm. So we are exposed on...
We're exposed on the
east side,
which is the least side, and that's why we're also...
It's the
putting
least
that tin
side
down,
that we're going to have, you know, exposure.
And we made it 10 foot deeper, mm-hmm. so we can keep it 10 foot more inside the building. And that will hold 600 tons, 600 to 700 tons if you pile it high. And our use last year was 2,200.
I'll just say, I'm not sold on it yet. I have some hesitation, reservations about, you know, trying to find a better long-term solution for the site. So... I'm okay moving this forward and seeing what we come up with our costs and how it fits in.
We kind of wish we could have put it in before the budget, and at least some money for it.
I wish we would have too. Wish we could have. When we emptied the salt out in late April is when we found it.
Okay.
We knew it was all bad.
I was going to say, you knew the building was...
It had actually racked and twisted.
That wasn't anticipated.
Correct.
So we thought we could get...
So we'll bring this back to the committee.
Yeah.
Is it all right if we bring back a verbal update with Brad's for June and then the full vote in July?
I mean, the more information, the better.
Yeah, we'll have more than verbal, that would be better. We'll have a full estimate.
The estimate, because the EOPC is going to be on with the bid anyway, so...
If you get bids back in July, are you okay with getting it up before you need it?
That's going to be written.
That's going to be really tight.
It's going to be very tight, yeah.
It will be, but the site, it's footings. You're not building a foundation, you know, you're not building electric or plumbing. You're putting in some concrete, you let it cure for 7 days, and you put it up. And we are going to try to get the concrete removed ourselves, so the site is actually
ready to go.
Clear.
New business number 7, selection of committee liaisons.
So you have tonight to select the liaisons for Park Board and YBSD. Currently Park Board is Joel, and YBSD is you, Joe.
Yeah. I'm fine with staying with YBSD, unless anybody else
wants. I go to Park Board anyhow, even though Joe was gone, so it doesn't matter to me. It's up to you.
That sounds good.
That's great.
Settled then.
Sounds good.
Okay, new business number 8, 2019 meeting dates.
So before you have the calendar, we review this every year just to make sure this meeting date works for all of the members. I know Seaver isn't here tonight, but does this date and time work for you?
He was on it before, though, wasn't he?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
He did not. Yeah,
I'm
fine with him. You guys are good?
No. It's a known quantity, so I don't see it being an issue. We can order 2 dates that conflict.
Okay, old business number 1, East Alley parking lot update.
I don't think there is one, actually.
Do we have any movement in any of the parcels?
I don't think so. I don't think that we have been in contact with Imperial regarding that.
That's the basket that is that one.
Update.
Old business number two, Crosstalk Air, Route 47 and Main Street.
All right, so the last time this was discussed, it was requested to take a look at some options as far as keeping this a crosswalk and also removing the crosswalk and then providing some ballpark costs associated with that. So we put together a memo, a couple different options, and put that in the packet. The first option is to remove it, as was discussed at the last meeting. Rough estimate, $30,000 to $40,000. Second option, which is something that Chris suggested throughout, about adding some pedestrian hybrid beacons on the mast arm. So we estimated that to be roughly $60,000 to $76,000 there. And then the ultimate crazy option is to build a pedestrian bridge. Certainly that's $1 million plus or minus. A few options for further discussion and pick up from where was this left off last time.
So if we had to take an option off, which one might it be?
Take one off.
It's an interesting concept for the third one, but wait. It would be really nice, but I think it'd be actually better suited in the downtown if we were to even do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. At least you know what it costs if you ever want to do it.
And we're
million.
I do like the second idea, as we put out there, knowing that we're looking $30,000 to $40,000 just for removal to mitigate that the conditions out there. If then we're looking at $60,000 to $80,000 to put in mast arms and modify the system, I'd be more inclined to explore that one a little further as compared to just putting $30,000 to $40,000 into not having a crossing for what did we say was 4 or 5 blocks.
Right.
That entire stretch. Not that I like spending more money by any means. I think y'all have heard that from me. But I want to do what we can to look and see if we have something that's safer for the public.
I can agree. This here looks more like almost like a red light. So I think if you really want people to stop there, I think that's what you got to have. Because otherwise, I think what we have there now, I think a lot of people don't even
know.
It doesn't faze them. Start
slow
down.
I get a call on this probably at least once a month. Mm-hmm. I know two people have at least been hit. Something's got to get done.
This option, it is a red light. You see it. It's mast arms across the road.
I'm guessing, though, that doesn't go red until you push the button to cross, then it goes red.
I think it slows them down, then stops them. Is what it looks
gives
like
them a yield, and then
it's a whole cycle.
Yeah, it's a full
correct.
Cycle. Yep. Is it green in general?
It's
nothing. Yellow.
It's blank, and then yellow flashing
yellow
means somebody's basically hit the button.
But it's okay. On the bottom.
Yeah, in our memo, if you...
It's got the little light indicator.
Well, it might be hard to read.
Proceed with caution, slow down, prepare to stop, stop.
Yep.
Stop or you're going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
Well, I just think the red light will look like a stop.
Countdown timers would be on this one? For crossing option.
Yeah, it looks like... On the pedestrian side, yes.
They're pedestrians.
Yes, for the pedestrians, so the pedestrians would know the timing
absolutely.
For crossing.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, that more so used on the much busier.
Mm-hmm. But knowing we've got 5 lanes to get across without a refuge or refuge area.
I just have a voiceover that says, hurry, hurry, hurry.
Now.
Okay.
The only reservation I have about that one is I still think it puts us on the hook because it told us not to do it, and that intersection already is horribly messed up with traffic because they cut down Main Street to hit the river road.
Right, which we know we're already on the hook for
any
liability. This actually probably helps us.
Yeah, something's got to be done one way or the other.
We'd probably be better off if we were to get into an issue where we had to try to settle with somebody with this as compared to the flashing hazards.
Oh, yeah, no, I say they either got to come out or something's
or do something about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. So, yeah, that's the only part today is because that intersection already is.
Well, I think a lot of people didn't realize they had to They see someone
flashing.
I don't think they just thought, okay, I gotta look out for somebody. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the problem is you'll get one person to stop, they think it's okay, and then the next person doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you slow up.
The next person doesn't see them.
You can't see them.
If you're in that near lane,
yeah.
lane the outside lane, and there's a truck in that far lane, you can't see it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, like I said, I probably hear about this at least once a month, if not more.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a good way to proceed. Kind of tighten things down a little bit and come back with something a little more refined. Number two.
Okay. So what we could do, directed by the committee, is reach out to IDOT to see if this is something they would consider permitting, just to get a feel. So that'd be a potential next step, and then bring that back.
Yeah.
Because I will admit, I have gotten one email saying don't take them out.
Well, I know Larry, in the past, he fought hard.
Yeah, I know.
But he thought that some kind of warnings
was better than
nothing, and people risking it on their own. And so I get that, but this is much better, I think.
Yeah, because you get a red light.
Yeah.
You can't argue that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're going to get people who are going to say, well, this is you're trying to stop going up a hill.
The trucks.
I actually did a look at the hill on both sides. It's a steeper grade southbound. At Fox, on the south part of it, that's actually a steeper grade than this approach. So I don't think that really goes very far to say that it's going to be hard to stop going up the hill. They stop going up the hill the other way. So, thank you for what it is.
Hey, number three. Dump trucks.
I was asked last month to take our needs and put them into trucks, and see how much it would cost to spec new trucks. And this is what we came up with. This is done through Sourcewell, which is a state purchase option, basically. Mm-hmm. They are vetted and, you know, they have to hold their pricing. It's, you know, in the bid process, they can change their prices to whatever they see fit. This is a yearly price or a two-year price, whatever their contracts are, and they hold the prices. But you can use the vendors. Like, we wanted Cirrus controls because all of our other trucks are Cirrus controls. There's no guessing game. You get Cirrus controls. They are, I said, $185 to $195. They came in at $201, I believe. But these are stainless steel bodies. These are aluminum tanks. These are stainless steel hydraulic tanks. This is a zinc-coated frame. These are meant to last the 10-plus years.
Plus, you've also upgraded them for the hot asphalt.
We did. The asphalt body is a big upgrade. It ends up being a taller body and a longer body, which allows us to dump directly into the paver, which is something we have not been able to do. Our trucks hit, and so you can't do it.
You can't dump into your paver.
No, that's why you need an asphalt body. They're all set up like
that. Yeah,
we're transferring it somewhere.
We're transferring it. We're either scooping it out with the skid steer or dumping it on the ground and scooping it.
Remember, the paver came way after the trucks.
Well, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And we made it work. It's just a better product when you don't have to handle it
twice. Yeah, no, yeah.
And it will be much...
And it's quicker.
Much more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So these are not budgeted, but we'll explore what the options are for the next... Yeah.
But we saw what happened last year.
Exactly. We had a lot of our big trucks down. We had pickup trucks, small trucks running around plowing to help us mitigate
problems. We've deferred this for 12 years.
We have.
Yes.
So our fleet needs to be functional.
And unfortunately, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Because behind the 03 and the 04 are the 04 and the 05.
And when it comes to primary needs, this is obviously one of them. This is our operations of keeping the streets clear, being able to repair the streets. This is a primary.
Yeah, this is one of our number one functions. Right?
Absolutely.
Correct.
So I would also suggest we get this on October when we do goals. That should be an item. It should be on there so that.
Do you have like
staff?
Please note that these trucks will not be here for this plow season.
Yes.
Right.
They will not. They will not be here till next May.
Right.
Oh. So okay.
If we order now.
Yeah.
It's 12 months to build.
If you order them now, you're going to go through another plow season, and hopefully it's not as bad, because otherwise
right.
they'll be like, you just spent how much money on trucks, and my roads are still horrible. Well, it's because they're not here.
Correct.
Well, why did you spend the money? But
because they'll be here next
the next year, they'll be very, very happy.
And just to your point, vehicles were not on the list.
Right.
Goal setting. So when we look at this...
That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah,
they were the year before,
and
then
year
they fell
before,
off.
We did... we did a little bit of work on vehicles, smaller. We did a couple
police
smaller
cars.
Yeah. But we did not deal with these.
I think it's just good to have it on there. Mm-hmm. They need to do
everybody gets sticker shock when you see the cost. And you know, rightfully so, $200,000 is an awful lot of money for a vehicle.
Right. Because when we're talking $400,000, you take that to the police department, you're going to get five or six cars.
Easily.
Because you're used to
That's
right. And we're going to get 10 years.
10 years.
10 plow seasons.
Two big trucks.
10 asphalt seasons. 10 brush seasons.
Mm-hmm. And then when you go to get rid of them, somebody will actually pay you for them.
These they will. These they will. The last ones, we really took it on the chin a little bit. They were in such...
Well, the ones you got now.
Rough shape that you're we may be better off, and I'm working with my streets foreman to come up with a reuse for some of these to keep them around, but not plow.
Basically, simple haul kind of
water truck.
Yeah.
You know, for the anti-icing,
mm-hmm.
but it won't plow because that's what just damages it.
Yeah, because we could put tanks on them.
Correct.
Right. They're not going to plow, but they're going to run around.
They could
put
do
the brine
beforehand.
Out there. They could do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they have a life for that, that'd be great.
That's
I
what
mean,
we would like to do.
A couple more years on a vehicle like that.
We could probably get another 5 to 10. Just because it's a single-use vehicle, then, and we use it sparingly.
That would offset us from buying another vehicle right around the corner to do these kind of things.
To do those kind of things. Yeah. It'll still be a cost for the tank.
Oh, yeah.
The setup for the system, but
yeah.
nothing like a new truck with a new tank in it.
Right. We're not talking $200,000.
The tanker truck, you can keep bumping it up there, about 225.
Okay.
So, I guess.
Have you done an analysis lately of like what you need and what you're behind?
We have. We have. We've done those many times. Rob had set up a replacement schedule that a few years ago that we were already behind on. So every year, I just kind of
update
it.
Coming. Back up in admin. I'm going to be keeping that up on our
it's kind of
list to review regularly.
And I use Carrie at the Village of Oswego. They have the replacement sheet, like the test. Does this vehicle need to be replaced? And I believe I used it on those.
Yeah.
And most all of our vehicles are in the time to replace.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And that does not account our equipment. I mean, I'm honest, we've deferred this for 12 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunately coming back at once.
Yeah.
You know, our skid steer is 12 years old.
But I mean, you know, we all know that this stuff eventually just going to break.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at.
I mean, you start throwing rods through blocks and things like that. You end up with the salt shed. Okay,
or,
now I need it.
Or hydraulic systems go up. On a skid steer, if that central hydraulic goes out, do you replace it on a 12-year-old skid steer?
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, then the downtime just repairing them anyways.
Correct. So I do have a list, so I will be prepared when that comes up at any minute.
Perfect.
And maybe on that list put a description of what you're currently working with. So
that is on there.
Okay.
That is on there, and then what year it should be replaced.
Things are
with
ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can get that list.
I'm not probably going to be able to write you a big check, but I mean, I think if we start seeing this stuff more often, otherwise it just gets pushed back.
I will get it to Barton and Aaron.
Yeah, and then maybe we'll get it updated like a quarterly thing.
We can do that. Vehicles and equipment?
Yeah. Vehicles, equipment, anything you can say. I mean, I remember passing the water tower when I was walking to preschool with my mom. And it hasn't changed much. I'm a little older than that now.
Yeah, and it's been painted once is all.
Right. So, I mean, you're horribly, you know, outgrown it. The trucks are behind. You know, we need to start really looking at making some changes.
I will get you all the information you need. Thank you.
Anything else?
On this, I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Any other business? Anything?
There's one.
You want more item?
Oh, do it. Personal or massive? Personal, okay. Unless it's stapled together. Water department, superintendent, foreman, personnel. Okay.
So we did go out to recruitment for a superintendent of water and sewer earlier this year. It was a failed attempt at recruitment, unfortunately. So Eric did some analysis in revised salaries and went out there to see what actual costs were, and we did go outside comparable communities because we felt that with the failed recruitment, we really wanted to dive deeper in what the costs would be competitive for in Northern Illinois. So Eric went ahead and provided that, and we do suggest going back out for recruitment, but at a different salary range. So the salary range listed previously was 75 to 105, and staff is recommending a new salary range of 87 to 118. So we have requested a revised salary schedule, which is also in the packet. And then we would love to get this recruitment underway as soon as possible.
So you're envisioning that maybe one of the people that turned us down see that you raised it and inquire again? Or
not maybe one of the persons, people that turned us down, but we hope to select from a different pool.
Right.
And this range would attract maybe a different pool of applicants like, this go around.
I mean, how intensive? What do they have to have, like, a bunch of specialized licenses?
You have to have your Class B water license.
Which means state certified, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we have discussed that at the last meeting.
On staff with Class B?
We do. But we do not. We are currently using a contracted person for the water operator in charge.
Okay. We're not using our on-staff person that...
They are not in that position.
Right. But could they do the... Could they just do the operator in charge at that point just for short-term instead of contracting?
That was not really an option.
Okay.
It was more we needed a responsible operator in charge, and that's why we went off the contract.
And we don't see that person being able to elevate... to that position?
Eventually.
Okay. I mean, this is just getting to be quite an exorbitant amount. I understand this is becoming almost a director position for this one.
Yes and no. I mean, yeah. as water and sewer, this is what the area pays.
Right, yeah. And you look at the different titles and what they're doing, what they're paying.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, we're going from, you know, you look at what our staffing structure was, where we're going. This is just nudging that one way up there from where we were.
I
understand that. Well, I guess I understand the need. We have to have someone that has the certifications, which to me sounds a little strange because we do have someone in house and we have a contracted person that's doing this, but we're going to create this position still. I'm still trying to wrap my arms around the severity of the increases from where we are today to where we're going to be at the end of this.
The increase just isn't for the license, it's for the responsibility of the position of water and sewer.
Right,
if you look at most of these, it's superintendent of water or superintendent of streets. We're asking for both.
Yeah, I mean...
So we're going to consolidate to one position over two, but we're not looking that we're going to backtrack and come back and put an additional management-type staff underneath those. Because that's my concern, is we're going to elevate...
Well, right now there's an empty foreman's position in the water department that still needs to be filled.
Yeah, because... And I would say you're right about raising them. There's no way I would take a superintendent's job for $20,000 more than I could make as a foreman. It's especially if I'm running both.
You're running both.
Yeah.
Because that's our spread of about 20 overall.
I mean, I could say professionally at 75 to 105, I would have thrown it to the side too. Yeah, huh? Good luck. At those numbers, I would start considering it.
I think the one maid just used it as leverage.
Yeah.
They went
absolutely
back to Tavies.
Yeah, but I can make this as a foreman easily.
Yeah.
I mean, what I make now.
It's just what the market is.
Being. Right. So to ask somebody to run two departments like that, yeah, you're going to have to. At 105, yeah, I wouldn't have done it myself. But at 118 to 120, now it's worth the licenses and stuff.
We're absolutely sure that in the long term, this is the right way to go with creating a superintendent of water, sewer, a combined person for this. This is the right way to do it. But I mean, this gets outside of my scope a little bit. I just want to make certain that what we've created and how we're going about the staffing for the future of the department is the best way.
With the similarities of these positions being the same tools, the same equipment, the same almost personnel. I mean, water and sewers are very similar in that kind of thing. And with us not having the treatment plant, it's all on the production and service side. It does make sense for the two to be one because they can utilize the same tools, same equipment, and go out as one unit instead of having two separate units.
It just seems strange that we've not been able to fill this position for this long.
Yes and no.
I know there's a high demand.
There's high demand.
So that's the big part is we're not producing enough people for these positions overall.
Correct.
I know that. I know that's been an issue. There's trying to create this position and fill it has been daunting.
So it's September.
Yeah. So I want to make sure what we're doing is
absolutely
right.
I feel it is for our needs. It may not be for other towns, but in our case, I think that they will function well together.
Okay.
And when we're as large as some of these other towns, you may just put somebody else underneath. And,
yeah.
But for now, I think this is a good move.
Anything else on that?
On that one, no.
All right, now I can say anything else besides that.
Fiscal business? I got two items. So, Eric, when we put that sidewalk in by Heritage Woods,
mm-hmm.
I don't think, because it was so end of the year, I don't think we ever see, find up the soil and
see it. Need some little landscape?
Yeah, there's all the rocks that were, that were pushed to the side to put the sidewalk in. I don't think we ever got that finished.
Okay. As soon as Noah's flood is over.
Yeah. No, I didn't know.
I'm teasing, but yes, thank you for that. I don't go down that way every day,
yeah.
So no, thank you.
Because the only thing that's growing right now is weeds.
We will definitely check.
So, and then the other thing was, a while back, during the wintertime, Bill Burns over there had the water issue with the drainage from the fixer-upper house.
Adrian Street?
Yeah. What did we ever? I just following up. It's on my to do.
He kind of made a trench.
Yeah.
And then now, even with all this rain, we haven't had a complaint. So what we're going to try to look at is it's obviously just when the ground is frozen. So we'll have to try to find a way to capture that water so it's not in the backyard. There's no easy way to do it.
Well, it was okay until they made him pull the sump pit and. Because that house was being flipped, or the realtor,
mm-hmm.
that was being pumped. They had it pumped out to the front of their house, and then our building inspector made them remove it.
Other way around. They had it to the back, and we asked them to move it to the front. We couldn't force them to move it to the front.
No, because he said it wasn't a problem until they disconnected that, and then it started running down through their yard.
Yeah, they it used to be in the front. The gentleman who lived there before ran it to the front. We'd been there before when it iced up. And the people that were fixing the house, it was my understanding that they moved two of them to the back, and that's what kind of made it in his backyard instead of the front yard. So he just put up a little barrier for right now.
It's about.
Yeah, until until it thawed, and now the ground is taking it. So we just have to try to find a way to
You know, he didn't expect it to be fixed in the wintertime when he knew this. And then I know Bart was going to talk to you. I didn't know if that if somebody else went out and talked with him. Or...
Not yet. I have not.
Okay.
I had not. So I can put that on my list as well. Okay.
Yeah. That's all I had.
Okay. All right. Are you and Jared?